Now, you're going to have to help me a little bit, if you would. Now, you'll know the song, Don't Leave Me Hanging. Ready? Here we go. Lean on me when you're not strong. Friend, I'll help you. Oh, come on, come on. Wait. I'll help you. There you go. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need
somebody.
Classic. Some of you are swaying in the audience. Classic. Lean on me. Everyone's gonna need a friend. Listen carefully. The truth is, in real life, everybody needs a friend. In real life, everybody needs a friend. The question is, what kind of friends do you have? I've had all kinds of friends growing up. Amen. Lyft is getting out of control. I love it. I've had all kinds of friends in my life. I've had good friends. Friends that I've had for a lifetime. Friends that I've had since, well, I was 15 and 16 years old. We've gone surfing together. We've done ministry together. We've served in Africa together. We've started ministries together. We've done Bible studies. We've edified and built each other up. Till now, he's a pastor in Chattanooga. I'm a pastor in California. And we've watched each other's lives grow in the Lord. But I've had bad friends. I don't know about you. But I remember when I was 11 years old. You see, I'm from the Bahamas, and we used to go to this island in Treasure Key, and I got involved with a group of friends, and, well, we wanted to go fishing, but we didn't have any tackle or any bait, so we went into the fish and tackle store, and my friend decided that he was going to pretend to vomit by the cashier. And as he was doing his gagging noises, I was putting all kinds of gear into my pocket as we were trying to go fishing that day. Well, all of a sudden, he got healed when the cashier and the person, the clerk of the store, was there. And I go walking out the store with all these hooks and all this bait and all this tackle. My pockets were like this because my friend told me to do it. You see, and about the end of the day, I felt guilty. So I looked at him after we'd used all the stuff, and I said to him, we got to take it back. He goes, we can't take it back. I go, dude, just do the same gig. We'll go back in. He goes back in the store. We're about 11 years old. He starts his gig. I start putting everything back into the various bins that they belonged, and I started going out the door until the clerk grabbed me. What do you think? I'm stupid. You see, I got in trouble. Because I got connected with a group of bad friends that encouraged me to do the wrong thing. And you cannot prove the scripture wrong. The truth is, listen to what the scripture says. Bad company corrupts good morals. I can't tell you how many parents have been in my office and they're looking at me trying to fix their teenager. And what comes out of their mouth is this. He got connected with the wrong group. Or she just got connected into the wrong crowd. The bottom line is this. You're going to become just like your friends. What kind of friends do you have? In fact, I want you to take a personal inventory of your friends right now. I want you to think about them for just a moment. Because if you think about who they are, it's really a reflection of who you are. Because you hang out with people like you. So if you think, wow, my friends, they do nothing but gossip, and they're so mean, maybe you need to take a personal look at you. Listen, you are who your friends are. So pick your friends wisely. In fact, the word, it gives us discernment on how to pick good friends from bad friends. Would you take a look? It's Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its kings. So he did to Ai and its kings, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, and Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deborah, king of Eglon, saying, come to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it's been made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. You see, it's the first of 3 points. Listen, number one, you gotta start watching out for bad friends. You see, these guys had gotten together for one purpose. It was a bad purpose. It was to kill, steal, and destroy. These guys weren't friends before. This is like Saudi Arabia and Israel now becoming friends because they have a common enemy, and that common enemy is Iran. Now remember, I told you, the Word of God, it has a lot to say about friends. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, listen, I'll read it for you. You can turn there or listen carefully. Proverbs chapter 1, keeping your finger, of course, in Joshua chapter 10. Listen to what he says about a group of friends as he's giving counsel to his son. It's Proverbs 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Wait a second. Look what he says is their end result at verse 17. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. You see, Solomon is telling his son, wait a second, watch out for the people that you hang out with, those people that are bent on nothing but destruction. He says, make sure that you don't be with them. Well, let's take a look at these guys in Joshua chapter 10. You see, these are the kind of people that you want to avoid as friends. But these are the kind of people that you want to reach out with the gospel. I'll never forget my son, Timon. We moved into a new neighborhood in Florida. And he comes back after the first day and he goes, Dad, I have found 5 new people. And I said, son, tell me about them. He goes, okay, Dad, 1 is not saved, but 4 are on the way. You see, he recognized by their way and their character that they were not believers. And he realized, I can't be, now this is at 8 years old. I found one person that I can be a friend with, but I found 4 others that I can minister the truth. And my son evangelized those 4 families, and they all came to church to hear me teach, my 8-year-old. Now listen, these are friends you want to avoid, but these are friends that you want to minister the gospel. The first one, Adonai Zedek. You see his name? It means my Lord is righteousness. You see, this guy, he's a descendant from Melchizedek. This is the king of Jerusalem, Melchizedek, who was blessed by Abraham, who got blessed by Abraham, who Abraham paid a tithe to. Wait a second. You want to destroy the people of God, Adonai Zedek? Don't you know where you come from? You see, these are the friends. These are the friends that, well, everything is the surface. Surely he's the king of peace. Surely he's the Lord is his righteousness, but it's not real. It's just on the surface. It's just a show. It's just keeping with the tradition. These are the friends, well, you've got to keep up with what you look like and what you act like. You've got to have your hairstyle a certain way because everything is about what you look like and what you act like and who you hang out with. Watch out. These are the religious. But they've got no relationship. They're just at the surface. Secondly, we see this next king. His name is Hoham. Now listen to his name. When Jehovah impels, when Jehovah forces to do something. Listen, let me explain about this guy. This is the kind of person that's not serving God because they have a desire to. This is a person that's constantly being forced. It's the person that you have to beg to do everything. Will you please go out? Will you please hang with me? Will you please go to the Bible study? Listen, if you're dating a guy and you've got to beg him to go to Bible study, drop him now. Listen, girls, they don't get better. They don't get better. There isn't a thing as missionary dating. Listen, you've got to understand, this is the kind of Hoham who is being forced to do everything. Listen to who he is. He's forced, not freed. You see, when I'm in Christ, I'm freed. I don't have to go to Bible study. I get to. The third, his name is Piram. Now we're on K-Wave, so I can't give you what his name truly is, but listen, it's like a wild donkey. You fill in the blank. Like a wild donkey. You see, I'll never forget when I was about 16 years old, I got on the back of a crossback donkey. I figured if Mary could ride one, so could I. So I got on a donkey, and this donkey was all cool. I didn't have a bridle on, didn't have a saddle, just kind of rode this donkey. I get on this donkey, and all of a sudden, this donkey goes nuts. Goes nuts. It starts bucking, it starts rearing, and it throws me off. Now listen to what it did. It ran in between two trees, and I promise you it knew what it was doing. Ran in between two trees, shook me, so I hit the trees, bucked, and I fell off. Then the donkey came around the tree. This is a true story. Pointed its hoof at me and goes, like it was laughing at me. Let me explain the kind of friend this is. This is the friend who is filled with foolish behavior, foolish actions, foolish conduct. You see, this kind of friend, they're foolish. They're not faithful. This fourth friend, listen, they've gathered together. His name is Japhia. Now, his name means shining, but the town he's from is Lachish. This word means invincible. Now, let me explain about these guys. These guys think that they are better than anybody else. They have got so much pride. They're so haughty. They're so filled with themselves that no one or nothing is better than them. You see, these kinds of friends, everything's about them. What do you want to do? Okay, we'll do what you want to do. They're haughty. They're not humble. This final friend, he's the king of, his name is Debir. His name means sanctuary. Sanctuary. You see, he's got a form of godliness. It looks holy. It looks peaceful. But he denies the power of God. Let me explain what this kind of friend looks like. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be, now go through this as a checklist. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. No, if you're looking at this list, you go, wow, my friends kind of look like that. There could be a problem. You see, these kinds of friends, they're hypocritical. All surface, outside, they're not honest. It's who they are. Now, we've mentioned five of these friends, but let me explain why they're like they are. It's found there in verse 2 that they feared greatly. You see, the basis of why they are what they are and why they try to do the show, why they're hypocrites, is because they are afraid. It's why the bully preys on the tiniest kid. It's why the bully attacks them to kind of show his power when really it's not power at all. You see, it's afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my power. I'm afraid of picking a fight with someone that I can actually fight with or someone that can beat me. No, I'm going to pick on someone who's weak and who's innocent, because the issue is fear. And these five kings come together, and they come together to cause problem. But let me explain. The foundation of a good friendship, the foundation of a good friendship is faith. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful friends. Now let me explain. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They know us so well that they can invest into our lives, hurt our core, but you know they're not going anywhere. And no matter what mistake you've made, and no matter what you've done, they are there with you because they're faithful friends. So I want us to now look at some faithful qualities as we take a look at Joshua's life, because he's for us going to represent the character of a good friend. These are the kind of friends that we need. Look at verse 6, if you would. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, now I'm going to read it kind of the way I believe they sent it. Don't forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. If you're taking note, let's talk now about these characters of a good friend. Let me tell you about the character of a good friend. They are a diehard. Now remember the Gibeonites in chapter 9. The Gibeonites was Joshua's mistake. He made a peace treaty with a group of people that he shouldn't have made a peace treaty with. He should have destroyed them. But these people, they came and they lied and they deceived him. And he made this mistake with this peace treaty only three days later, learning that they were right in the territory that they were walking. To me, this is Joshua's opportunity. Five kings attacking one city. This is a way to erase my mistake. We'll let God just wipe them out. This is redemption. God is good. We can be free of our mistake. Not Joshua. Joshua had made a commitment. Joshua had signed a peace treaty. Joshua was a man of his word. And no matter what, he was going to be committed to the agreement he made because he was a loyal friend. This was a diehard friend. Secondly, I want you to see, look at verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I've delivered them into your hand. Not a man among them shall stand before you. Not only was Joshua a diehard, Joshua was a devoted friend. You see, the Lord said because Joshua prayed. We've already learned that Joshua two times doesn't ask the Lord and God doesn't respond. He doesn't initiate. But now we know Joshua's prayed because the Lord has said. We know that Joshua has learned from his mistake. We know that Joshua has grown in the Lord because Joshua is devoted to one thing, not to turn to the right or to the left. This is a good friend. Someone who is devoted to God, someone who realizes when they make mistakes, someone who's humble enough to recognize, I want to be more like God. This thing has to change in my life. Someone who's devoted is a good friend. Verse 9, Joshua therefore came upon them, and suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal, so the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah. Just when you think you're getting away from guys, the Lord gets you. And they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ahilon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? In other words, if you don't believe it, someone else wrote it. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Let me explain about this friend. This friend is dedicated. You see, Joshua would hear this message, and Joshua would march 25 miles overnight to get to the Gibeonites to rescue them. This friend is dedicated. Now, let me explain. I have walked 17 miles. One day, it took me, I'm embarrassed to tell you how long, so I won't, a long time. Let me explain. I was walking with a group of students. I was able to go from Genesis to Revelation and summarize the entire Bible over the course of the day. That's how long it took us. When I got there, my feet were swollen. All I wanted to do was sit down and get my legs up. I can't imagine that Joshua would march 25 miles overnight and then fight a battle the next day and win. You see, Joshua was dedicated. Joshua took the task to heart. Joshua fought hard. And when he couldn't fight anymore, when he was weary, he reached out to God and he prayed and he said, "Sun, stand still." He depended on God to help. So dedicated to the task, he wanted the day extended so he could finish what he started. That is a faithful friend. Taking a look, if you would, at verse 16, not only was Joshua dedicated, Joshua was determined. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings have been found hidden in a cave at Makkedah." So Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand." Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Let me explain. Joshua, this good friend, he's determined. You see, they caught the five kings. Joshua could have been distracted. Joshua could have said, "You know what? I'm going to stay here with these kings. I'm going to guard them." But no, Joshua was wise. Joshua was understanding. He came up with a plan. He put a stone over the cave, and he was not distracted from his cause because he had to rescue his friends because he was determined. He was not going to let anything stop him from helping his friend. That's the kind of friend you want. Someone who doesn't get distracted, but someone who's determined to be your friend. Verse 22, and Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave." They did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, "Come near and put your feet on the neck of these kings." Now, let me explain. This was a way to show dominance. This was a way to show victory. And their head would be down, bowed before them, and they'd put their foot on their necks. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them, hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they'd been hidden, and laid the large stones against the cave mouth, which remain to this very day. Let me explain. Joshua, he was distinguished. They're announcing in front of his enemy, "Be brave, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." Oh, that people today would stand up and stand for something and say, "I believe." Would stand up like Joshua and put your foot on the neck of the enemy. Listen, our faith is victory. We've already won the battle. We are more than conquerors as Christians. Why don't we be distinguished like Daniel, who purposed to distinguish himself in Babylon. I will not eat the food, Daniel said. I will not learn the Babylonian style of manner of living. I'm Jewish and I'm going to honor God. And he said, the word of God reports that he purposed to distinguish himself. That's the kind of friend you want. Someone who will stand up for something. Yet, there's another friend in here. He's one we haven't mentioned yet. You see, in life, I know there's going to be people that will let you down, even close friends. And you may have all these qualities, but friends are going to make mistakes. And I don't know why we expect people to be perfect. No one's perfect. I've seen friends break over an event. An event happens. They've been lifelong friends and they cut the relationship. The truth is people aren't perfect. People are going to hurt you. I know. 10 years I was in Liberia. I had a friend that was closer than a brother. One night I had malaria. I thought I was going to die. My friend, he, Liberian fella, he wrapped me up in blankets. We were in the bush. And I couldn't get warm enough. I couldn't break a sweat. And that night, wrapping me up with blankets, he slept right next to me. He fed me when we didn't have food. This friend, this guy, for 10 years we walked the road. We planted churches together. One year I brought him to the United States. I took him through and he was going to the Bible College at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. About 3 weeks into, I went to go pick him up. And when I went to his house, there was a note. Dear Chet, I've only been your friend for 10 years so that you would bring me to the United States, and now I'm gone. I haven't seen him in 10 years. I know friends can disappoint. I know friends can betray. And that's why we need to discover this other friend, because everyone needs a best friend. It's our third and final point. Everyone needs a best friend. His name is the Lord. Listen carefully. The Bible says that, take a look if you would, the Lord fought the battle for Israel in verse 14. It was the Lord that was with him. Let me show you. Remember when the five kings were running and the five armies were running? What did the Lord do? He drops hailstone. I wonder if it was a game for the angels. Boom, got one. Boom, got one. Boom, got one. I wonder if they were doing like this little thing like, oh, there goes one. Bam, got him. You know, I wonder what was going on, because you don't mess with the friends of the Lord. You don't touch children of the king without him responding. Let me explain. He's a good friend. But the Lord, let me explain who the Lord is. Joshua goes, son, stand still. It's kind of cool that we got a friend that we can tap into miracles every once in a while when we need them. This is the coolest thing. You see, it's Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he says this. Which of you, having a friend, when you've got a need, listen carefully to the story, and a friend goes to a friend at night, and the word friend is used, and he knocks on the door and he says, I need some bread. I had some people come over. And the guy goes, I ain't getting up. He goes, I put my children to bed. And the guy goes, please, 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 please let me in. And finally, the friend gets up. Not because he's a friend, but because he was a persistent friend. You see, Jesus wants us to be persistent friends because he is constantly in pursuit of us. He is our friend. Now, people have an issue that Joshua spoke to the sun and said, sun, stand still. And the scientists, they use this and they say, well, you see, the Bible is not true because the sun doesn't stand still. The sun doesn't move anyway. It's the earth that moves. Well, let me tell you something. Every morning, I go into Surfline, okay? And I check the surf. And I've determined whether or not I'm going to go out or not. This morning, a little blown out, decided not to go. Now listen, on Surfline, it says sunrise. Do you think these Surfline people think that the sun goes around the earth? Can you believe they would put sun? The sun doesn't rise. The sun doesn't set. Are you crazy? Are you dumb? I'm not going to listen to Surfline. They're idiots. They have no idea. Are you kidding me? It's a phrase. It's a commonality. He speaks to the sun. Sun, stand still. And God supernaturally makes a 24-hour day a 48-hour day and prevents all the other catastrophes that could have happened. Aren't you glad you've got a friend that you can tap into who can do miracles? But let me tell you, this friend, he's friend for one reason to me. Because greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. Joshua, let me explain what he does. Joshua, he takes these five kings and he curses them. He puts them on a tree. He crucifies them. He kills them. Joshua, he throws their body in a cave. Joshua, he rolls the stone over the cave. And the Bible says that they are there to this day. I got good news for you about our friend. You see, Jesus, he was cursed. That's what the Bible says. Anyone who dies on a tree, they're cursed. He took the curse of our sin so that we could be his best friend. And when they threw him in the cave, 3 days later, that stone moved out of the way. And let me tell you something about our best friend. He's alive. He's well. He's not in the grave to this day. He has been resurrected. And he says, I love you, and I'm a good friend, and I want to be your friend. See, the Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. Isn't that cool? God's got friends. And Abraham was one of them. My question is, are you his friend? And to the believer that's listening, listen, I've got another question for you. What kind of friend are you? You a good friend? Or are you a bad friend? Now, I think it's cool that God would say, look, Abraham, that guy's my friend. And he wants to be your friend. And he proved it. And he laid down his life. Now, if you don't know Jesus, listen. He's calling out to you. But if you know the Lord, what kind of friend are you to him? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And now, it's that time of commitment. And I pray, would you speak in Jesus' name, amen. If you're listening in the crowd, you're listening on the internet, or you're listening on K-Wave, I've asked you, do you want a best friend? Everyone needs a friend, that's real life. And you have a best friend who's calling out to you, and now's your opportunity. You see, now's your opportunity to say, yeah, that's me. I've been in the wrong crowd. I got hooked up with the wrong people. I recognize that some of the characters of those friends that you talked about are my friends. But I want Jesus. And I want to be a friend of Jesus. And tonight, as Evan sings this one song, I'm going to ask you come forward and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you're listening on K-Wave, you're listening online, it's your opportunity to prepare your heart to receive a best friend. Now listen, church, you pray. And church, if someone comes forward, you erupt in clapping because God's rejoicing in heaven. And if that's you, you feel in your heart, you know it's time, you need to get up here. So I'm going to ask you, you come forward, you receive Jesus as your best friend tonight. Believer, if you need to rededicate your life and you realize you've not been such a great friend to God, I want you to come forward as well, because this is your chance to lift up the name of Jesus in your life. Evan, would you sing one song? Church, you be in prayer. If you want to come forward now, receive Jesus as your Savior.